Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Why pay more for a separate CoQ10 supplement? Enjoy twice the benefits with SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced. From the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended beet brand for heart health support, the new SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced by Human is now infused with CoQ10. That's essentially like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 ingredients support nitric oxide production, healthy blood pressure, healthy CoQ10 levels, and heart-healthy energy with 2 tasty chews a day. Plus, SuperBeats Heart Chews Advance are plant-based, so you get heart-healthy energy without stimulants. For a limited time, get a free 30-day supply of SuperBeats Heart Chews on all bundles and 15% off your first order by going to RadioBeats.com and using promo code DEAL. That's RadioBeats.com, code DEAL.
Doing that, I was face to face with it. It was holding me by my throat, and it felt like it was sucking something out of me.
I probably should have been more scared than I was when I witnessed the exorcism.
I turned and looked on my right side. When I did, there's a beam on the side of the tree, a large beam. It's looking at me, and I'm looking at it.
After I hit the lock button and looked back up, I saw red eyes staring back at me.
That they're going to show multiple gods all over the earth, be able to speak in people's languages, and at that point, it kind of converge into this one entity, which will be revealed as extraterrestrial. You'll realize that aliens are the gods of old, and at that point, it'll wipe religion out of the context of humanity.
No way, it couldn't have been a person, I know that. I know that people can't run through the woods like that.
So this thing comes into view, and I see it. It's 50 yards away from me. It's walking on two legs. It's huge. This is a big, hairy-looking being.
Welcome. I'm your host. This is uncomfortable.
Welcome back to the show, my friends. I am your host, Eric Szilagyi. If you've had an uncomfortable experience and you'd like to have it featured on the show, please get a hold of me at contact.uncomfortable@gmail.com. The world wants to hear your experiences. They want to hear your story. So get a hold of me and let's get yours on a future episode of Uncomfortable. If you don't already, make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, both at Uncomfortable Podcast 65. And please remember, leave us a 5-star rating and review wherever you can. That's the main way you, the listener, can help get the show out in front of more people. And with more people listening, that means more people coming forward with their experiences. Head over to Uncomfortable Podcast on YouTube and check out the show in its video form. And while you're there, hit subscribe and the notification bell. That way you're going to be made aware every time I upload a new version of the video of the podcast. Make sure to check out the new Uncomfortable link tree in the show notes below. I've been asked by a lot of you to get together all the podcasts that I've appeared on outside of Uncomfortable, and this is the best way to do it. So you can find them all there, and the address is linktree/uncomfortable1, and Uncomfortable is spelled like the logo looks, with a lowercase u and the uppercase n. If you're interested in helping support the show, head over to patreon.com/uncomfortablepodcast770 check out what we have there. Or if a standalone contribution is more to your liking, you can do that as well through Red Circle and their Sponsor This Podcast tab. The links for those and our Discord server will be in the show notes below. Bigfoot and Brews and Spirits 2, September 14th, VIP dinner the night before, will be held at the same place, Sister Lakes Brewing Company in Dowagiac, Michigan. Tickets are they are live now. We've got Amy Boo from the Olympic Project and Project Zoo Book. Scott Tompkins from the Bigfoot Mapping Project will be appearing for the first time anywhere at this event. Salt Fork State Park naturalist John Hickenbottom and special guest author and journalist Shatan Noir starts the day off with her telling of the whole reason why we're there in the Sister Lakes area, and that is the Dewey Lake Monster. Finally, at the end of the day, we are going to be blessed with the presence of Archbishop Christina Rake, and she's going to round out the paranormal side of things. Most recent addition, we are anticipating the return of our favorite Bigfoot, Bo Dean. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, he will be back to photobomb your pictures, chase your kids around, and overall just make the day a fantastic event. See, we got a new set of tickets on there. It's a combo deal for the day of event and the VIP dinner the night before. It's a discounted rate. I think you save $15 if you buy the combo ticket. Those tickets are limited. There's only 30 available, and we've already sold 10. So if you're interested in doing the dinner the night before, please make sure that you take advantage of that. Again, that's available on the Linktree, the Eventbrite site. Four tickets is on the Linktree, and it's also on the Bigfoot and Brews and Spirits 2 Facebook event page. Tonight's guest, ladies and gentlemen, was supposed to be a part of last week's show. That is Mr. Harley Owens. He was a co-experiencer with last week's George Lunsford in a Bigfoot experience. We got some other things to talk about with this guy, so if you're ready, let's get into it. So if you will, give a warm, uncomfortable welcome to Mr. Harley Owens. Harley, welcome to Uncomfortable.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, and I look forward to sharing my experiences so far from being a non-believer to become a believer and now a researcher.
Well, I am happy that you were able to make the time. I know we were supposed to do this as a conjoined effort with George, but yeah. You and your family fell ill. I'm glad to hear that you're all doing well, and you got over that, so... Bigfoot, you know, I mean, here we go. Let's get into it. There's some news that I've gotten recently about you and your experiences, from another gentleman.
Yeah.
Brandon on the, Tinfoil Tales podcast made me aware of some slightly subversive activity that might be transpiring with this, but let's get into first of all, before we talk about anybody that's trying to silence you, let's talk about what they're trying to silence. What has been going on in your research that has people's ears perked up?
Well, you know, I'm exposing the real truth and reality of these things, you know, and they're not just an ape or anything along those lines. There is a supernatural side to these creatures, and, you know, people get a little upset and stuff whenever you talk about it, you know, being the Nephilim, and it's what these things are, in my personal belief and what I've been doing in my research.
You know, I'm going to play the devil's advocate when talking about the Nephilim. You know, it's become a popular theory. Mm-hmm. You have a number of podcasts who are Christian based, and they all tend to go that route. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's right.
Right.
I do think that When you say there is a spiritual component to these things, I tend to agree with you. I think there is enough evidence in people's experiences, enough things to indicate that there is something supernatural going on. Does that mean that it is actually a spiritual component? Not necessarily. It just means that we don't understand what's happening.
Right.
You know, exactly. Right.
Exactly.
So I caution myself. I caution my listeners. It's like, remain open-minded, take everything in, compartmentalize the things that you think make sense to you. Mm-hmm. But be careful to jump onto any one bandwagon, because I don't think anybody out there really has the answer.
No, there is no expert. There is no expert in this, and it's just pure speculation on what you want to believe and what these things are.
Yeah. Now, you know, I'm going to further play the advocate by saying I know that an experience that you had in conjunction with George, you were with Scott Carpenter's son.
No, this is the area that Scott used to research.
Okay. Yes. Now is your, I don't know how to say this without sounding like I'm talking trash, and I'm not at all, because Scott did some fantastic research. But he was very Christian based. So it's natural to think that he would migrate to a biblical explanation for these things. I think there's more. I think there's what's in the Bible. But then I think there's a bunch of stuff in between.
To me, I think
these things fall somewhere in between. But that's not to create an argument between you and I.
That's just my belief. I agree.
So I guess let's start off by, you know, is it purely a thing because of your faith that you think that these are Nephilim, or is it one of those?
At first it wasn't, you know, at first I was like everybody else, you know, I was like, it's an ape, you know, or some kind of relic hominid, you know. And then whenever I decided I want to start researching these things and going out and doing the hikes and spending hours and days out in the woods, you know, and I'm just like, there's something else to these things, you know, because, you know, I never really imagined that I would experience mind speak, but that was a really freaky experience.
Really?
Yeah, it said Jerome, and I'm just like, Jerome? And I've never heard that word before in my life, and I come home and I'm trying to look it up, and it means elder or guardian.
Really?
So, yeah, it was very, very strange. And just so coincidentally, whenever that happened, and I'm still hiking off the trail, and no hikers are nowhere nearby, and I find this huge X.
As far as a tree structure, you mean?
Yep, one tree was broken, and it was placed down into the ground, and there was no stump anywhere in a 50-yard circle from that could have explained it. That tree was picked up and brought over there, and it was propped up into an X.
Now, I'm going to ask you this, and this is kind of whether I throw everything out with the bathwater or not. Made popular on several different documentaries. I forget the name of the area. But there's some large, large trees that would not be able to be manipulated by even a very strong man.
No, it's the way some of them are stabbed down into the ground upside down. I mean, that's a lot of force and a lot of power.
But then there are Facebook groups that you see pictures of structures, and, you know, quite honestly, I mean, you can tell by the weeds, by other things that are surrounding this structure. You can tell that branch would probably be pretty easily moved by a human being. So structures for me they're very interesting. Mm-hmm. And when you see a real one, there is a very strange natural flow to the way that they're created. There's a weird weave that takes place. It's very organic. But when you see some that look like they could have just been picked up and placed by a couple of guys walking through the woods, I have to throw those out of the mix. You know, they might be real, but if a guy could do it, then I got to say a guy did it.
Absolutely. 100%. So yeah. Like, sometimes you sometimes you can go through and look at them and, like, you know, these trees that I found, they were like that big around. So, I mean,
not likely for an individual to pick it up and move it.
No, I don't see why anybody out there hiking would waste their time and move around a tree to do that. You know, and like the arches, you know, these huge tree arches, there's an arch that I found. It's probably about 12 or 13 foot tall in the center of the arch, and it's just bent down, and it's got this huge snapped off tree that's holding it in place. So, I mean, there's some pretty crazy structures that I've found, and then there's another one that I found, and it's like the top of a tree, but all the branches are intertwined and, like, tied together. Like, it was woven together. It was really, really strange.
Yeah, there's some really compelling pictures of structures out there. And then there's some you can see that there was a lot of time taken by somebody doing that, but it just doesn't have the same feel.
Right.
It literally looks like somebody was trying to put one together.
Pull off a hoax, yeah.
And when you see a real one, that organic flow, because, you know, all the limbs that have a bow or a turn to them, they're all going the same way, and they all seem to make this incredible structure. And so what part of, you don't have to be specific, but you're in Tennessee. Is this your research area?
Yes, sir. East Tennessee in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park.
So tell us, what have you come across that has, you said earlier that you were a non-believer.
Yeah.
What convinced you?
Well, in 2020, September 23rd, 2020, that was when I actually saw my first one. I managed to get a photograph of it. I photographed and videoed a trackway, and I captured some remarkable vocalizations. And, you know, I had the vocalizations analyzed and sent off and done a spectrogram on, and they ranged all the way up to 2,000 hertz. And that's not human. You know, I had people tell me it was elk, it was coyote, and it was stuff like that. And then I had a guy that's familiar with elk, and I said, "Does this sound like an elk to you?" He said, "No." He said, "I don't know what that is."
What about on the lower end of frequencies? Was there anything any sub frequencies recorded?
I didn't really think to ask the guy that much. He just sent over how high up they went. They went all the way up to 2,000 hertz.
Because one of the telling things is when you have those kind of recordings, if you're reaching down in the subsonic frequencies, and they're in the frequency range of producing infrasound, that's usually a pretty good telling component to a piece of audio, because if they can go as low as producing that and as high as what you're talking about into the 2,000 hertz range, that's something that has a vocal capacity that is much beyond what we can.
Oh yeah. 100%. Like, I mean, I like whenever I'm out there hiking and stuff, like I'll hear this like just mumbling, you know, and I think it's somebody hiking down the trail coming towards me, and 5-10 minutes later, there'll be nobody there. So I'll be walking along these thick laurel thickets, and they're green year round. And, you know, and I know it's them back and forth communicating between each other. It's very strange, you know. It's like they call it samurai chatter because it's just like real low mumbling, pretty wild stuff.
Right. So walk us into that experience. You know, like you said, you got some video and photographs of one. Are you willing to share?
That with me? This is what made me start doing my research, you know. And I shared my first encounter back in September or August. I was on Bigfoot Society with Jeremiah Byron, and I was like, you know, it was corrupting me for 3 years. You know, I seen a creature, and the evidence that I had, you know, and nobody believed me. I went through ridicule. You know, my parents still don't talk to me to this day.
Really?
Nobody in my family does, you know, and I lost all my high school friends because they thought I was crazy. You know, even though I had a picture of this thing, I had photo and video of a trackways, and I had these remarkable vocalizations, and, you know, it was tough. But going back to the day that I saw this thing, I'll sum it up the best that I can real quick. And so I worked for an auction company at the time, and we were rigging and tearing apart old sawmills. And I was out there by myself. The week prior, there was a couple other guys with me. And so I'm sitting there organizing stuff, waiting for somebody to come pick up their other stuff. And before I could leave to come back home, I believe it happened on a Wednesday. Pretty sure it was a Wednesday. And so I'm sitting there. I was getting ready. I was sitting on the skid steer, and I go over to my cooler, and I grab a Coca-Cola and a sandwich. And I hear this growlish grunt. And, you know, initially I thought it was a bear because the owner of this place had told me about a bear. Well, I heard the growl again. I looked up on a ridge and I seen it walking. I was like, okay, that's that bear. But I couldn't really make out what it was because of the thick brush. And I was like, okay, I'll just sit here and watch it. Well, I look down and I look back up and I see it. It's on this cliff face and it's leaning out around the tree and looking at me. And I'm just like, oh my God, that's a Bigfoot. These things are real. People aren't crazy. And, you know, I used to be a non-believer. And then sure enough, here I am. This thing's 70, 75 yards away from me and it's looking right at me. I know it's not a bear. I'm an avid outdoorsman. You know, I hunt and I fish. And I just knew that this thing was out of place. And, you know, my first instinct was, if I don't have a picture of this thing, nobody's going to believe me. And I wasn't going to try and video it because as sure as I did, it would have been gone. So I just pulled out my phone and snapped a picture. And that's when I experienced what they call zapping. My phone just drained of everything. And this thing was still looking at me. I didn't have no phone. You know, it was just drained of everything it had. And this thing turned around and it went back the way it came, and I never did see it again. But I heard it that night more than one, and I had that. There were some researchers from Colorado who said there's more than one individual.
So was this the same experience that you had with George?
No, sir. No, this happened in 2020.
Okay.
This was my first encounter.
So what were the lighting conditions?
It was daylight. It was about 80, 90 degrees, and I got a pretty good look at this thing, even though it was 70, 75 yards away. And the picture I got of it, it's amazing because this thing literally just leans out from around the tree and it's looking at me. I mean, you can see it's still what you can see its conch-shaped head and the shoulders. And
so let's get into some descriptors. What did you see? You say you got a good look at it. Describe the hair, the fur, the color of the skin. What did you notice about it?
Well, you know, initially, like whenever I could, what I could see, it was just a shadow, just a black shadow leaning out from around the brush, you know, and it appeared to have black long hair hanging off of it. But like I said, it was still 70, 75 yards away. I mean, I couldn't really make out no facial features, but it was just, it would lean in and out, you know, and it's just black shadowy figure. But, you know, and I had the picture, somebody ran the picture through some software on their computer, and this thing was actually reddish brown, and it wasn't black. I mean, for 3 years, I thought it was black, and then now I figured out that it was reddish brown.
And you came by that how?
Somebody on my Facebook group screenshotted it, and they downloaded it on their computer, and they ran it through some software on their computer and enhanced the image some way. And I was like, well, that's crazy. You know, for over 3 years, I thought this thing was black and it was reddish or brown.
So as far as facial features, anything like that,
it was 70, 75 yards away. I mean, I couldn't really be for certain.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was definitely a life changing experience for me. You know, I stopped hunting. I stopped fishing for 3 years. This past Thanksgiving was the first time I'd been deer hunting in 3 years.
What kind of behavior did it exhibit? I mean, I know you said it was peeking out, but like at the point that it decided to leave the area, did it just vanish, or did you witness it lumbering away, or did it take off in a flash?
It lumbered away and then it just vanished through the brush. It just disappeared, and it was just curious. I mean, it was just showing itself. I mean, just checking me out. But, you know, I think it wanted me to know it was there. I mean, I don't know, but I just feel like it wanted me to know it was there. And
was that a direction that you were heading?
No, I was just sitting there working, minding my own business, and this thing growlish grunts at me. But I mean, I just happened to look, and there it was. It was a life-changing experience for me.
Everybody says it is.
You know, because that's something that's not supposed to be there. You know, it's something that we've been told is just stories growing up, you know. And
yeah,
you know, my great grandpa would always tell me stories about them, and he'd seen one. And you know, I'm a firm believer in them now, and I've had two more encounters since then. When I started doing my research, December 7th of 2023, and a week later, I had an encounter.
So when you decided that you were going to start researching this, what did you do as far as prepping for that? Were you buying equipment? What were you arming yourself with as far as a methodology of gaining evidence?
Well, I bought plaster, and I got my backpack, I got my cameras, I utilize a backstroke camera to record behind me while I'm hiking. I've got tape measures, and I've got electromagnetic field reader. I got my binoculars and stuff, so that way whenever I'm looking over these other valleys and ridges and stuff, so I can get like a overall view of the area that I'm in. Mm-hmm. But mostly it's just I'm all up in the mountains because it's just the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, but we got all laurel trees, and it's just so thick you can't do nothing with it.
So take me into your next experience.
All right, so whenever I started doing this, I'd found a couple of small things, just twist breaks on like branches and stuff. And, I was really doubtful that they were in there, but I was sticking with it, because this was the area that made Scott Carpenter stop doing his field research. And I was like, okay, I'll just stick it out. So December 14th, 2023, me and my wife go in here, and we went in there about 9:30, 10 o'clock. And I'd been gifting them apples. I'd put apples up as far as I could reach. I'm 6'6", so I guess I'd put the apples up probably about 8 foot as far as I can reach. And, we're hiking back down the trail, and she just nudges me on the shoulder, and she says, "That looks like something out of a war movie," And I was like, "What?" She said that, and we go over and look, and it's like a blind. And there's these sticks and stuff, and they're just propped up, and there's literally an area where something had been laying in there. And I was like, okay. Which I didn't have. I forgot my tape measure in the truck, so I kind of just stepped it off. And I wear a size 12, so I just step for step, and it was a little over 8 feet. And I was like, I don't think that's a bear. And I said, something used that. Because you could still see where the leaves were bedded down.
Yeah.
And right as I was looking at that, I heard something moving in front of us. I told my wife, I said, head back to the main trail. And I said, if I start hollering, I said, run. I said, either it's a bear or it's something else. So I'm going along back in through there. I can still hear whatever it is to my right, but it's so thick and the laurels are green. And I'm sitting here looking and I'm listening. And I just had this feeling, just look right. Well, I turned and I looked, and I seen it going behind a tree, and I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, this one's a lot closer than what my first one was. It was 25, 30 yards away. And I'm like, okay, it's behind this tree. I was like, I don't know what it's going to do. I was like, either it's going to come running at me, or I don't know. So I stand there looking at the tree. Well, this thing steps out from beside the tree, and it squats down, and it peeks its head out through the brush to look at me, and I'm just like, oh my gosh. Well, almost instantly to my left was a loud snap, like just a real loud snap of a branch, and then right behind me after that loud snap was one stomping, and I was just like, oh shit, I gotta get out of here. I was like, I've pissed them off. So I'm just like, okay, all right, I'm leaving. But the funny thing was, I had my gun on my right-hand side. So I had one right straight in front of me, I had one to my left, and I had one behind me. My gun was on my right side. I just thought that was just a coincidence. I think they know what guns are.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty scary experience. I had one right in front of me, and then I had two that I didn't see. They definitely utilize family groups 100%, I think.
I would tend to agree with you. So you said this was around 10 o'clock, 10 or 11 o'clock. Are we talking evening or are we talking during the day?
During the day.
Okay, so it's completely dark out. So again, this one's, you know, 25, 30 yards away from you. Much closer than the first one. Yeah, this one
was much closer than what the first one was, I'd seen.
Were you able to make any determination of skin color, hair color, anything in this one?
He was reddish brown. His face was like a grayish in color. And like right below his eyes, it was like he had wrinkles. Like just like three little, there's three lines right around the bottom of his eyelids there. But like the hair was, he had like a receding hairline. He was very weird looking. Like the arm hairs was hanging low. He very, very strange. I guess he was old. I don't know. But he was very strange looking. You know, he, I'd say he was about probably 8 feet tall, because I still go in this area often, and I know where this area is because I gift him in this area now, and I figured he was probably, I'd call him 8 feet, because it was 7'8", 7'9", but he had this hair that stuck up on top of his head a little bit, so I made him a little bit taller.
What about size? You know, shoulders as wide as a pickup truck, or was this one,
they probably about 3.5-4 feet across the shoulders. I'd say probably about 3-3.5 feet. Yeah. He wasn't really wide like the first one I seen was, but now the one that me and George saw, that one was pretty impressive.
Now, if I remember that story correctly, in George's telling, you were up ahead of him. And that would have put you in closer proximity to it than where George was at, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was 15, 20 yards away from him at what I could figure out. Because I actually went back to that area last week. But I've been in there before then, but I never went back to that area where we seen him. But this past week I was in there where he was actually at. And he's much bigger than what we thought.
He's much bigger than what you initially thought from that first encounter of him. So yeah. You're finding what you feel is evidence of him still being around that area.
Yeah. Yeah. He, but you know, after we had seen him, we just went and judged by the branch that was broken where the top of his head was. And well, I'm, like I said, I'm 6'6" and I can probably reach a good 8 foot up. The top, that branch, I mean, I could reach up. It was a good 2 feet above where I could reach.
And that's where his head was at?
Oh, yeah. And I knew what we were dealing with then. I was like, this thing is a monster. That thing's huge. Because, I mean, initially where we were at, I was down in this bottom, and, you know, which he was higher up. But still, I mean, right there from that branch, there's... That's a big creature.
10 plus foot.
Oh, I easily. Yeah. I got to have somebody come out there with me. You know, I don't have no help. I do this all by myself, you know, and it's kind of difficult to get help.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, unless you're in a group of like-minded people.
But George and them are coming back up April 6th. So it should be an interesting time.
What are you doing to scout that area? Like when you're not there, do you have trail cams up? Do you have DNA traps? Anything that you're putting up?
I had DNA traps out. I had. They tore them out. They know, because I put Velcro hair traps up. You know, I'd wrap them up about 8 feet up off the ground on the trailways that I figured they would use. They use them because the hair traps aren't there no more. The branches are snapped off and broken, and the hair traps are nowhere to be found. So I'm going to try a tactic that Scott Carpenter done, was utilize packing tape and wrap it around the trees and pour bacon grease on the trees. And whenever they will come in and lick the trees, their hairs will get caught and pull out.
Are you trying to utilize trail cams at all?
You know, I think they can. They know what trail cameras are. I think they can see the light that they put off, and I think they can smell them as well. You know, and that's why nobody will ever get a picture of them on trail camera. Some way, somehow, Scott managed to capture them on there. But you know, I think I'm just going to leave that to him. You know, because I don't want to waste money on trail cameras just for them to get destroyed.
Yeah. I don't know that everything Scott caught was Bigfoot.
There is some other things that he that. Have you seen the video that he has of where this portal looking thing pops up and this white entity comes? That was very. That was very strange.
Yeah, there was his, you know, not to take anything away from his research or his style of research. Hey, all my uncomfortable friends, you've heard me talking about the Eufy Video Lock for some time now, and I gotta tell you, this thing is a game changer. Smart lock, security camera, and doorbell, all in one unit, and all it took was a Phillips screwdriver to install it. The Eufy Video Lock, that's EUFY Video Lock, allows for unlocking the door three different ways: through fingerprint technology, passcode entry, or physical keys. The crystal clear 2K video is instantly accessible with no monitoring or monthly subscription needed. It even has two-way audio when you use the free Wi-Fi driven iOS or Android compatible Eufy Video Lock app. I have a brick home, and there was no way I was going to drill through the brick and hardwire any of the other options out there just for the sake of having a video doorbell. But with the Eufy Video Lock, simply replacing the deadbolt on your front door and operating on a rechargeable battery that lasts up to 4 months, that was the perfect choice for me. With the Eufy Video Lock, you get an incredible 18-month warranty and 24/7 customer service. Search Eufy Video Lock, that's EUFY Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to take complete control of your entry doors now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I'm just not convinced everything that he was catching was Bigfoot. I think he had a number of different things going on there. And I was having a conversation with somebody at work today about this very thing. And it kind of reminds me of Scott Carpenter's evidence that he was catching. And that is, I've talked to people whose parents have been heavily involved in the church, or they've been the parents, you know, their father was a preacher or a pastor, and then they fell away from the church. And then as they grew into young adulthood, they started having significant paranormal experiences with what could only be considered negative stuff. And, you know, Scott made no bones about his faith and his belief. And yet some of his evidence that he's captured, some of the evidence that he's captured, I would put more in the realms of something paranormal and less about Bigfoot. You know, he was innovative in using the back camera with the stabilizer on it. And I think people, they need to, a lot of people need to take some hints from Scott, because I think recording behind you, or even investing in one of those 360 degree cameras that record the entire surrounding, sides and back and front, might be beneficial to some people as far as their research goes. I realize they're expensive. But I mean, if you're there to do that job, if your goal is to get evidence, I think you have to make that jump and spend that money.
Yeah.
You started off by saying your belief is that they're not apes. And I agree. I don't believe they're apes either. I think they are something much more closely akin to us.
Oh yeah.
I think they're a people. And I think there's enough anecdotal evidence as far as people's reports and to indicate that there is a high level of intelligence and that these things are more a people than a wild animal.
Well, I mean, you go and look, I mean, there's a lot of backlash behind the Sasquatch Genome Project, you know, and Scott, he sent some of his hair samples in that he got from here in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, you know, and the DNA shows that mitochondrial DNA of a human mother.
Yeah, to within 15,000 years, yeah.
Yep, and nuclear DNA unknown. So, I mean, that throws them as our cousins, literally. I mean, they're related to us.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
So tell me how you came upon your belief that these things are descended of Nephilim.
Well, I initially thought, you know, that maybe it was Uso or Cain at first. But then, you know, whenever I figured out that there is another side of these things, because, you know, I never had any paranormal activity in my home until I started looking for these things.
Oh, and now you're having activity in the house.
Oh, yeah, stuff falling, weird noises. Yeah, it's crazy stuff. I don't do ghosts, and it traumatizes me, dude. I'd rather run into more Bigfoot than deal with this stuff that's going on in my house at night.
What kind of things?
Like, just stuff falling and these weird noises and banging on the wall. It's a bunch of crazy stuff, man. Especially the voices and these just cold chills all of a sudden out of the room. It's different level stuff.
Voices?
Yeah, like they're like voices.
Very. What are you hearing?
I think it's just demonic stuff. It's like just whispers. Just like a little whisper.
So nothing you can really make out. You just hear.
Yeah. Yeah. And like one night there was a loud bang and I thought one of the girls had fell out of the top bunk, and I go in there and look and she's safe and sound in the top bunk, and I never did figure out what made that noise. Yeah. And that happened last month.
What, any kind of activity on your property?
You know, I've been back there looking and I haven't found anything yet, which, I mean, it's the thick, I need to go back here and clear it out. Honestly, take a bush hog to it and clear it out. But I don't know. I haven't been able to look.
How far are you away from your research area?
25 minutes.
That's not far. In my episode 2 and 3, very early on, I had a family who was hunting a piece of public land. And it's about a 35-minute drive from their house, 35 or 40-minute drive from their house. And they had a number of experiences while clearing out that area and getting it prepped for the season and cutting shooting lanes and stuff like that. and then all of a sudden, they started having issues on their property. To the point where the husband, the dad, he put up, I believe it was seven security cameras on the outside of the house and two pressure plates in the yard to indicate if somebody was walking through the property.
Yeah, I leave my back porch light on now. I don't turn it. Only time I turn it off is just whenever it's daylight. I mean, just in case they are here, you know, I don't want them getting in my trash and doing all that stuff. just in case they did. You know, I've had people tell me that I've been marked by these things, but I don't know.
Have any of your experiences that you've had three sightings now, correct? Mm-hmm. In any of those instances, has there ever been any kind of act of aggression towards you or anything where you felt that you were being threatened by them or?
No, just curiosity, but the dog man is a different story.
All right, let's get into that.
Yeah. January 29th, I decided to find some new areas. So I go to this first spot. I mean, I find this huge asterisk on the ground. Like, these trees are snapped and broken and are made into an asterisk. And I'm just like, okay, that might be Bigfoot sign, you know, and I'm still going through this area. And I'm just like, okay, there's some signs, but not enough for me to say that this is as good as my next spot, which this is probably about 15, 20 minute walk from where I started doing this at. And so I go back to the truck and I go further up the mountain to this other trail. And it was a good hike. I mean, it was 30, 35 minute hike to where I got to find this new stuff that I found, these huge twist breaks. You know, if it takes a lot, you know, for something to twist a tree. You know, wind is not going to cause something to twist. Something with hands is twisting that. So I'm hiking along this trail, and I'm filming this whole time. And I come across these first couple of creeks, and I get to this next area, and I come down the hill, and I cross this little culvert with a creek, and I come up the hill, and the trail splits. I'm like, okay, I can go right, or I can go left and go up the mountain. I look to the trail to the right, and it just dead ends. And I'm like, well, okay, I guess I'm going up the mountain. So I start going up the mountain a little bit, and something out of the corner of my eye catches me, and I look, and I see these two huge twist breaks. And I'm sitting here looking, and I'm just like, that's impressive. That first one was probably eight and a half feet tall, because, I mean, I could reach up to where it was twisted and broken, but there's still a little bit I couldn't touch. But the other one, that one was huge. It was double the size of that one. And, you know, the one that I could reach and touch, it was twisted and broken one way, and the taller one was twisted and broken the other way. And I'm just like, okay. And I was like, well, if this was wind, there would be other trees around in here that were just like this, because these trees were still green. They were fresh. And I was like, okay, if this was wind, there's going to be other ones. Well, there wasn't. I was like, okay, all right. I was like, I'm going to run into a Bigfoot. And I was like, I know what. I'm out here by myself. It's snowing. And it's cold. I'm like, I'm going to run into a Bigfoot. I wish I did. But and I'm like, okay. So I go back to the main trail. And it's getting cold. And I'm just like, okay. I'm just going to go a little bit further. Now I just tell myself I'm going to stop. So I go up this curve in the trail. And I check my phone. I had 30% battery. And I'm like, well, okay. I can keep going a little bit and keep filming, or I can turn around and go back. And I'm just like, okay. Well, I look up and I'm listening and I'm looking around. I look back down at my phone. It says 10%, and then it just drained. And I was like, this is deja vu all over again from getting zapped the first time. I'm like, I'm running into something and I don't know what it is. So I'm like, okay.
Now, are you noticing anything? You said you take EMF detector with you. Are you noticing any spikes in the electromagnetic fields or anything?
Well, that day I didn't have it. That day I did not have it. And but I did come back, and I'm standing there, and I'm like, I'm gonna go home. So it's snowing, and I'm just cold, and I just packed lightly because I was burning up. I just had a hoodie and a t-shirt on and my jeans and my muck boots. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, I'm going home. So I turn around. I start walking down a mountain. And I walk maybe 5-10 yards, and I hear something behind me to my right moving. And I'm just like, okay. So I turn instantly in my tracks, and I look, and I see it. This huge canine. it's just laying there. It's brown, and he's got these big, huge yellow eyes. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. And, you know, I thought the dog man was just a bunch of BS, you know. And then I was like, well, I did think that about Bigfoot, too.
And, well, you said it was laying?
Laying flat on the ground. Just laying flat. And this thing stood up. It pushed itself up off the ground with its arms. And it took three steps, and it was right in front of me. It had its arm propped up on the tree, and it had its other arm growling. It was this thing. Those things are demonic. When you look into one of those things' eyes, there is no soul. That thing is bred to kill. And, you know, I was looking at that thing's eyes, and it's my life was flashing before my eyes. You know, my wife was going to move on without me. My kids were going to grow up without me. Everything was just flashing before my eyes. You know, I was going to be another number on the missing 411. And this thing's huge, dude. It has these huge yellow eyes. And the top in between of its ears, you know, it has these huge, huge ears. And the snout was like smudged up into the end of its nose. Like the upper half of its torso was thick, and, you know, it had its hands, you know, like what a raccoon's hands look like.
Mm-hmm.
They're almost like a raccoon's hands. And like the bottom half of this thing, it had, you know, I always heard the stories that they had like the backward facing legs. No, this thing had forward facing legs, you know, like its knees were facing forward like a human's.
Yeah.
And, you know, I couldn't really tell the feet because of the leaves, but it had a tail like a fox's tail. It was just thick and woolly. And I'm just, you know, it's dark brown, and the eyes, the big yellow beady eyes, dude.
So were the eyes self-illuminated, or were they just yellow in color?
They were illuminating, like they were glowing. They were glowing yellow. So I knew I had to run. So I turned around and I ran, and this thing was chasing me. It chased me for a good 10 minutes until I got and I crossed a bridge and it stopped at, and I guess that must have been like a boundary or something too. But I come to find out that there's two cemeteries in that area, and I think that they stick around cemeteries because I've heard some reports from the LBL that the dogmen stick around cemeteries.
I've heard that too. So this thing gives chase to you, and you're, I mean, don't take this the wrong way, but you're out running it.
I guess it was toying with me. I mean, I got long legs, but I was running as fast as I could, but like it was away from me. It was further away from me in the woods. It wasn't like right behind me. It was off in the woods a little bit away from me. So, but I did go back on a Friday. I had some friends from Virginia come down. And we got measurements of how big this thing was and the stride that it took from where I first seen it to where it was.
Did you get castings of the prints that it left?
No, there wasn't nothing.
How were you able to tell like the distance of the stride? What were you seeing?
I was able to know where I seen it because there was a log laying there where it was laid up behind. It was laying behind a log. So I was like, okay, he was at this log and he went over to this tree that was like, there was a little embankment on the tree where this tree was sitting and it was at that tree. So it was three steps and it was at that tree and it was 28 feet. And that's a little over an 8-foot stride between each step from where I first seen it to where it went behind the tree. And it was, we figured it, the top of its head, it made a mark where the top of its head, its hand was above its head, and, you know, I figured, okay, I was like, okay, that's it. Then there was a little mark on the tree from where its claws was, and it was a little over 8 feet, like 90, I think it was 96, no, it wasn't 96, it was 7, shit, I've got it all down on my phone, I can't remember. It was a little over 8 feet, and it was 39 inches across at the shoulders. So this thing was It's like the stuff of nightmares, you know, like all these movie depictions of like werewolves and stuff. It almost makes me wonder if it's not telling something.
What do you mean?
That science fiction ain't all what it's made out to be as science fiction.
Oh, that they're throwing some truth in. I got you. So you're saying this thing had had a stride of 96 inches?
No, how tall it was. The stride in between each track was 8 feet. Like it had, it was 28 feet from where it was to where I seen it. Like, and well, hang on. I can tell you. Hang on a second. I can't do it right here. But I can get that sent over to you.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got, it's all on my other phones because I'm being monitored like crazy. Like my Messenger. They're monitoring my Messenger and my everything, dude. And they
who's they? They who?
The powers that be. They try and follow me to where I go, and I managed to lose them.
All right, so now hang on a second, because I mean, you just had a face-to-face encounter with a dog, man. At the closest that you were to this thing, how close were you?
15. Probably about 10, 15 yards away from me. You know, it had these, it was close, you know, when it was breathing, you know, I could see the steam coming off of it as cold as it was from when it was, where it was snowing.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a really hard snow. It was just, it was flurrying. It was cold. That was a very, very scary encounter. You know, it made me want to stop doing this.
Okay. But, which leads me to the question of why are you still doing it?
I'm gonna expose the truth. That's what I want to do. I want to finish what Scott started. I think I can do it. I'm in constant contact with his son, and his son's helped me quite a bit.
Now, is his son researching on a regular basis?
No. No, his dad told him not to.
Yeah. Yeah, I paid pretty close attention to Scott through the years, and I honestly, I don't remember ever him doing a video or releasing anything that actually had his son involved with it. So I wondered.
And some of his older videos, he had his son with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he told me, he said, Dad don't want me doing it.
Now with as good of friends as you are with Scott's son, was Scott experiencing things in his home as well?
They did follow him home, and he had some like these orbs and stuff outside of his house, you know. And he also found tracks outside of his home, and he even found hair outside in his yard in a bush. So they were interested in Scott, and I feel like they are the same way with me. I don't know. I think they can sense the good and bad intentions in somebody, if that makes sense. You know, I think they can tell a good and a bad person.
I don't disagree with that. I think there is a component to that. So you're being monitored. First of all, let me play devil's advocate again. So with your research and with whatever shows you've been on, what are you doing that is drawing so much attention? Because they're not gonna care about some little guy who's just going out and diddly winking around in the woods and coming across something. They're gonna care because you have a voice and you are getting a message out. So where have you been and what have you said that would be attracting this attention to you?
TikTok, definitely TikTok and on Facebook. I've just been giving them one. Definitely on TikTok and Facebook and all the podcasts that I've been on and done.
And how invasive is this monitoring of you? What all have you noticed?
Well, they, they initially started by just sitting out in the driveway and then
literally stalking your house.
Yep. Our town only has Ford Explorers, not Tahoes or Escalades or anything like that that are unmarked. And they try to follow me out there to where I go to do my research. And, you know, I've had some phone calls, too, from the restricted numbers. You know, they're pretty nasty phone calls telling me to keep my mouth shut.
So can you dive into that? What are they saying specifically?
They say, have you seen things? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I have, and I'm going to expose the truth. And then they're like, you need to stop. I'm like, no. No, I won't. But, you know, it's getting to where the point now that I fear for, like, my wife and kids, you know, not just me, but them most of all.
Well, that would be enough for me to stop doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. You know, I have a passion for this, you know, and I care about it, you know, and I just want to raise truth and awareness for people, you know, just like Scott done, you know. Scott wanted people to be aware that they're real, you know, and some people aren't going to accept the reality of them. These things are real, and, you know, if I can save somebody's life out there hiking, being aware that they're there, you know, if they run across the wrong one, you know, it could end bad for them. You know, there's more than just bears and venomous snakes out there in the woods. You know, there is Bigfoot and dog man creatures out there.
In any of your experiences, have you ever tried to rebuke them in the name of Christ?
I have not. You know, I pray every time before I go in there. And, you know, that gives me I think I've already pretty much solidified that I've already done that. You know, I think that Jesus has put his hand of protection over me, and I've got a circle of protection from these things.
You think that's what kept it from catching you?
I really do think that. Yes, I do. I think so. Like I said, when I looked into that thing's eyes, there was no soul. When you look into a Bigfoot's eyes, there's something there, you know. But when you look into one of these dog man creatures, there's nothing. It's just an empty void you're looking into. Evil. That's the only way I can describe that, is evil.
So with these areas that you're researching, I would assume part of your research is trying to contact people who have also had similar experiences with you. What are you coming up with there?
Just there's hyena noises, and there's actually, I've got a report that I'm trying to get the location to of aggressive Sasquatch. There's this individual that hunts and goes looking for mushrooms in this area, and apparently they're very, very aggressive. But he still goes back. Why? I don't know. He said some of them are okay with him, but the other ones are all aggressive. And it's like at the very, very top of the mountain in the national park.
See, I don't know what to do with that. I don't know that I don't want to say that I have more common sense than you guys, because I think that it sounds kind of rude. But, you know, I mean, if I had an experience that didn't go terribly well, and arguably your dog man experience was terrifying.
Yeah, it was.
That would pretty much put a stop to it, because from first of all, any of the descriptors that you've used for any of the three Bigfoot experiences that you've had, based on size, and height, and all that, and then the dog man, carrying a little sidearm on your hip, it's not going to do you any good.
No, I don't think they can be killed. I don't think they can.
So why are you putting yourself?
If they're physically here, it's possible, I think. But, you know, whenever we get into that rabbit hole side of them, you know, I don't think they can. So that's a rabbit hole that goes a long way down there.
It does very much, and And I've got an episode that's going to be coming out pretty soon that has somebody who's very knowledgeable on Dogman. And there are a number of things that he touched on that I was not aware of.
You know, I think a lot of these these quote unquote animal attacks are Dogman. That's my honest opinion.
What about any reports around your research area of Bigfoot and Dogman being in the same vicinity?
Well, I'll be one to tell you, they are in the same vicinity. When me and George were out there, and Robert was with us, we came across some Dogman tracks. You know, they were about 5 inches wide. You know, and there was a 5 foot stride in between each track, and we were finding Bigfoot signs in there too. You know, it was a real confirm for me that they're in there together. You know, at the land between the lakes, they're enemies. You know, one side of the LBL is Dogman and one side is Bigfoot. But here in the Great Smoky Mountains, there's something different about this place here. I think they've got a symbiotic relationship of sorts. Hey, two apex species, you know, why fight when they could work together? And I think that's what they do. I think Bigfoot use them much like hunting dogs. I mean, they use coyotes. It's not too far fetched that they could use a dog, man.
So going back to, you know, them sitting in your actual driveway, have you gone out and confronted them? I mean,
every time I try, they just leave. It's crazy. Every time I try, I turn the porch light on and go outside, they leave. You know, they haven't been here in about a week, but I know that my messenger just popped up that I'm getting like restrictions on stuff. So it's getting close for me to stop doing what I'm doing.
Well, I would definitely, I'd be putting up some kind of cameras, or at least when you know they're there, start pulling your phone out and taking pictures of these things sitting in your driveway.
Yeah, and it's been
all. You're a hunter. I mean, you got to know some good stalking techniques. The next time they're out in the driveway, go out the back door, get around the back side of it, and take the picture of the license plates.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that would work too. Yeah, or I could just put up a trail camera. You know, and the funny thing was, I sold my truck recently, and the guy that bought my truck, he called me. He said, "What did you do?" I was like, "What?" He said, "What did you do?" He said, "I got four unmarked SUVs sitting in my driveway." I was like, "Buddy, if I told you, you wouldn't believe me." So they bugged my truck, and they drove 40 minutes away from where I live to the guy that I sold my truck to, and they were sitting in his driveway looking for me.
Amazing. I don't even know what to say to that.
He texts me after, "So what do you do?" I was like, I look for Bigfoot. He's like, "Oh." He said, "So they're real?" I was like, "They are, yeah." He said, "I can believe it with all these people sitting in my driveway."
Yeah, dude, I don't know that it needs to take any writing on the walls for you to realize that maybe it's time to bow out. if nothing else, for the safety of your family.
Yeah, that is a big priority for me, you know. And I've had an amazing journey that I've been on so far while doing this. You know, I've made some friends. Like every podcast that I've been on, you know, and I just want to spread my message, you know, and encourage other listeners, you know, if they have an encounter, share it, you know. Don't be afraid for the ridicule, you know, because it's just human nature. It's going to happen anyway, you know. If you want, come on anonymously, you know. You don't have to share your name. I want to share my name because I want to get my story out there and get my research out there and let it be known, you know. I want to encourage people to come to me, you know, and share their experiences.
So what do you think the dichotomy is? What do you think, why is there Why are there so many reports of people who experience these things, specifically Bigfoot? You know, and some of them relate it to a religious experience. Some of them relate it to a, you know, awe-inspiring event that, you know, they can't believe they were lucky enough to see this thing. Then you have people that, you know, they claim that there's some really aggressive nature, and there's other reports, you know, where these things are doing some pretty heinous things to people. And, you know, you know, Cliff Berrickman or Jeff Meldrum, you know, they've vested, you know, the better part of their adult careers into doing this, but yet we don't ever hear them talking about government vehicles sitting in their front yard, threatening phone calls, because those guys have a huge voice, right?
You know, they're supposed to.
You know, so why aren't we hearing those kind of things from them versus people like yourself?
You know, I think that they've already been made aware of the consequences of what they could face from that, and the government has made them a certain agenda to stick with and spread that agenda to those that want to take it. Me personally, that's my personal opinion on that. But you know, I'm not no expert. I'm just an amateur in this. Quite frankly, I'm a pretty good amateur, I guess.
Interesting conversation, Harley. Yes, I know you've had a long day and we'll wrap things up here, but I appreciate you taking the time, and definitely a lot of food for thought there for the listeners.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Also, just I want to encourage y'all, be sure to follow Eric, and you know, check out my Facebook group, Bigfoot Reports and Data. Also my YouTube channel, and my TikTok as well. And look forward to sharing that.
All under the same name?
Yes, sir. Yep. That's all under Bigfoot Reports and Data. Also, hopefully me and George will have something else to share with you come April 6th.
Yeah, hopefully I get that call. I would appreciate that.
Yeah, you'll be the first to know.
If anybody wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
Definitely over Facebook. You know, just go to type in Bigfoot Reports and Data, the and symbol. Not A and D, the and symbol. Bigfoot Reports and Data on Facebook.
All right. Harley, thank you so much. I appreciate your time, man.
Eric, I appreciate you, my friend. Also, listeners, don't forget, if you got a story to tell, share it. Don't be afraid for the ridicule.
Absolutely.
Remain anonymous.
Absolutely. All right, my friend. We'll talk again. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
And now, gambling terms. Push, a wager that results in a tie. Even money, bet with the same payout as you wager. Legit, knowing where it's truly legal to gamble in Colorado. You can enjoy legal gaming in Black Hawk, Central City, Cripple Creek, as well as licensed online sports and off-track betting in Colorado. Play legit and gamble only where it's legal. Learn more now at PlayLegitCo.com. A message from the Colorado Division of Gaming. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.